shall be showers of blessings. 392.
We look to the Lord in prayer. It's a wonderful Mother's Day that we have today. We are thankful for each and every one of you that are here with us in the service. We have lots of folks that are absent today. Many are with their mothers, kind of like old David Hannibal way up there in Colorado. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're all over the place, aren't they? Anyway, it's good to have you here today, and we appreciate all of our mothers that are here. Brother Raul, would you lead us, please, in our prayer?
Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be here once again in the house of the Lord. In worship, in fellowship with one another, around your word. Father, we just ask you to come pastor, the message, that it would touch our hearts and draw us close to thee. Speak to those who are among us, maybe they need a Savior, Lord. This is the time, Father God, that the Spirit would convict them.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And my, it's good to see you today. Really is. Good to be in the house of the Lord on Mother's Day. And we're going to proceed now with some more good singing. Appreciate Brother Bryant leading our singing for us today. So let's sing another good song here.
628. I know whom I have believed. 628. All four stanzas.
I
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know that day. I know not how the Spirit moved, convincing men of sin. The revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith. That he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil in the air. But I know and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Johnny, you got a message for us this morning in song? Ahead.
Good morning, everyone, especially you moms out there and grandmas, amen? You know, this is supposed to be a day that moms, you know, you're supposed to enjoy. And your sons and daughters, granddaughters, grandsons, you're supposed to get mom top billing today. Amen. But you know what? There's a but here. Moms, there are some of you here, the heart is grieved. Grieved because you have children, grandchildren, who do not know the Lord Jesus. Salvation need to be in their hearts and lives. I got good news for you this morning. You take it to the throne of grace. You give that to your Lord Jesus Christ. You put them in his hands. Amen. And let him take care of what you cannot take care of. And he is not only able, but he is true to his promises. That whatsoever you ask in his name, believing shall be given unto him. We may not see it, but he's going to do it because he cannot lie. Amen. And it will come to pass. Amen. If by faith we believe. So, mom, rejoice. Rejoice because you have someone that's going to help. You have hope. Please, Sister Bob. And you know, one day you may be sitting around the house doing what you want to do. And the phone will ring. You go pick it up. and on the other end, a very special voice will finally say unto you, listen, hello, mama. I just called to tell you that all those tears that you shed for me, they were not in vain. Now, mama, something happened. The night watch down in Lonely Road, I thought that you to be the first to know, but I'm not the same. For all the dreary days, they're old now, and those sleepless nights are past, and all those friends that you have prayed so long, they answer now at last. For I'm not the boy that I used to be. Now, mama, you can't sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Let me tell you, mama, I'm all right. Oh, I remember that every night before you go to sleep, mama, I hear you ask the Lord for my soul to keep, that I might find the way. Now I'm so thankful that throughout my loneliness and all those wasted years, mama, those words, they kept ringing in my ears every night and day. Oh, those dreamy days, they're over now, and those sleepless nights are past. And all the prayers in you, mama, you prayed so long, their answer now and then. I'm not the boy that I used to be. Now, mama, you can't sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Let me tell you, mama, I'm all right. Oh, I'm not the boy but I know I used to be. Now you see tonight, for I found, look, mama, I found Jesus. Let me tell you, I'm all right. Yes, mama, you're born. Yes, I am. I found my Jesus. I'm doing fine now. Lord, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got my Jesus.
All right, wonderful. Let's all stand and we'll sing another song here and have the ushers come at the end of the song and receive our offering this morning.
Oh,
us, please.
Father, again, we do come to you with a thankful heart. We thank you for this building, the property, that we can come and gather and hear your word being preached and songs being sung unto your praises. Father, we do want to thank you for all mothers here,
Amen.
Mothers around the world. Many have even lost their mothers. We ask now, as the body of Christ, praying together, that at this moment you'll be touching those hearts that maybe have lost their mothers. They would come to know you through this sign. Father, as we partake of this offering, we ask that you not only multiply it here on this corner, but the mission fields we support around the world, and we will be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Christ's name we ask it, for his sake.
Amen. I've waited until now to make a very important announcement that this past Thursday, our great-grandchild number 10 arrived here with the birth of Harper Jane Mortensen over in the Phoenix area. And she came in weighing 6 pounds and 14 ounces. 20 inches long, and that's where Susie is today, and that's her grandchild over there. So she's over there with her, and so that's going to call for a trip to Phoenix one of these days. How many grandsons and granddaughters? Well, we've got a bunch of them. I'll get to that in a little while. Yeah. But we have a very important process to go through this morning. So I went down to See's Candy Shop, and they gave us some See's Candy to give to the oldest mother, the youngest mother, and the mother with the most children present in the services. Now, you may have 20 and they're not here. That don't count. They got to be sitting beside you, okay? So we're going to find out right now who it is. We don't have it. My wife doesn't have but two here. For the one with the most children present. There are times that she has won it, though, but let's see if there's anybody else that has more than one, more than two present here. I don't see anybody. Huh? Are you holding your hand up, Margaret? Oh, just one. All right, maybe you could double up with somebody else. Do we have anyone here with more than two? Where in the world are your kids? You've got how many? You've got two? All right. we got a tie then, if we've got two, all right, we'll check that out. That's for takes care of the mothers with the most children present. Got a tie. Now, how about the? Let's start with the youngest mother. Do we have any teenage mothers here? Put your hand down, Sandy. Do we have a teenage mother here today? You don't have to have any kids with you. All right, Laurie, I had her hand up. You got a teenage, okay. All right. Is she the youngest mother? Okay. Is there anyone? Yeah, that you just had a birthday. You almost put yourself out of the running. All right. I guess we got to find out how old you are, because there may be somebody here younger than you. Okay.
I don't want to be you right now.
I want to know how old Laurie is. She raised her hand for the youngest mother. She forgot.
That means she must be pretty old.
Roger did not forget. How old is she, Roger?
78.
Really? You don't look a day over 77. All right. Do we have a mother here today who is under the age of 78? All right. I see a couple of hands going up here. All right. Paula is not on Social Security yet. Let's see those hands again. We want the youngest mother.
What's young? What are you?
Younger than 78.
Younger than 78. There were several of
them. We got to know how old you are in order to determine. 55. Do we have a mother here who is less than 55? All right. There you go. Yeah, I know. That's according to her birthday. That's right. All right. Now we're looking for the oldest mother here. Do we have anybody here under 90? All right, let's see some hands. 80s, in the 80s. Here's one in the 80s, here's one in the 80s. There's one in the 80s. All right. Okay. How many, Lois? Is there any mother here older than 88? If you're not, then Lois gets the box of candy today. Amen. Finally made it, Lois. Yeah. All right. If there's another one here that's 88, you're going to have to share it, because we only have three boxes. So, Brother Roger, will you? Will you do it? Did you find out how old they are? They're all alike.
They're all alike.
They've all got lots of good hard nuts in them. Oldest is Lois. There you go.
And the other one, she's the oldest?
She's the oldest. Paula's the youngest. Paula's the youngest. Paula. And. Huh? Okay. The only two.
Ha ha ha. Where's the other one go?
The one with the most children. Give a box of candy to a diabetic that's on Coumadin. All right. All right. Thank you, mothers. But can you imagine? This one goes down in history. I'll tell you. The mother with the most children present? Two. I can remember when you started at a half a dozen. Two children present. What's wrong with you mothers? You didn't bring your kids to church today. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we appreciate all of our mothers. Wish we could have gotten one of these for each and every one of you. But did you know that See's Candy's gone up? Wow. We've been doing this for many years. Anyway.
Don't I get a box for handing them out?
You get one out of each box.
Open them up, ladies.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Let's do this somewhere different, because she got one and is donating me get one. Want to open a new category? Can I think of something where we can give them some boxes?
Yeah, give it to
them. I have nothing to do. All right, well, you pick somebody that needs it. You notice she used the word need?
There's a new idea.
What's that?
How about the one that's been a Christian the longest? My wife, I'll give one. When, how long have you been a Christian?
That's a good one. That's a good idea. She's wanting to give it away. Son's in the military. All right. Another one? Come see.
Next year. Let's stand together. One of the greatest songs, Barbara Gibbons' power. One of the greatest songs in the Bible. 111, how great thou art. That should be tradition. 111.
Sing it unto the Lord.
Two verses.
First and last verses. Oh Lord, my God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thine hands have made, I see the stars. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy will fill my soul. Then I shall bow in humble adoration. bring along. Then sing to my soul, my Savior God, to how great thank you, beloved. Be seated. Pastor, come ahead.
The 20th chapter of the book of Exodus begins with the Ten Commandments that God gave, that he wrote down with his finger on two tables of stone on top of Mount Sinai. And one of those says, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Today we honor our mothers. We'll have a Sunday next month when we will honor our fathers in keeping with the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not a mother, but my wife is. And so are many of you, and we appreciate your presence today in our services. God gave us four wonderful children, and we thank him for it. We had a girl, then we had a boy, then we had two more girls. Now, as they were growing up, their toys were three dolls and one baseball. You know what I mean? Now, we have 11 grandchildren. And though there are seven girls and four boys among them. So their toys are seven dolls and four baseballs. And now that we have 10 great-grandchildren, four girls and six boys, their toys are four dolls and six balls, baseballs. Little girls, the female of the species, like dolls. All little girls like dolls. Because to them, those dolls represent babies. One of the delights of life is to give a little girl a doll and watch how she treats it. It seems to develop and bring out that precious internal motherly instinct of their character, and that, my friends, is good. Back in the book of Genesis, when God was in his creative mode, he made all the beasts of the earth, the cattle, the creeping things, the fish, and the fowls. And the Bible says that male and female created he them. Okay? All of your creation here. It's either male or female. Then he made man. Man was the male of the human species. The Bible tells us that he formed man's body from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became an immortal, eternal, living soul. Now, at the end of that creative week, God looked out and saw everything that he had made, and he declared it very good. But then God noticed something that was not good. He recorded it in his book. He said, "It is not good that man should be alone." All of the animals, the creeping things, and such as that, remember now, are male and female, but man's out here isolated by himself. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Then he resolved to do something about it. He said, "I will make him an helpmeet for him." How's he going to do that? He caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And while Adam slept, God took one of Adam's ribs, and from that rib, he made a woman. He brought her unto Adam to be his wife. But when old Adam came out of that anesthesia, he's laying there on that hospital bed, and he opens his eyes from his operation, and he saw a beautiful woman standing there by his side. You gotta remember, she didn't have any clothes on. That's what the Bible says. I didn't throw that in there just to stretch your imagination. But he saw her standing there, and I have an idea that at first he thought she must have been his nurse. But she probably didn't have one of those little pointed white caps on. And God introduced him to her. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was what? The mother of all living. That's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And this is the first time in the Bible of many that you will find the word mother. Now, as the story progresses, after their encounter with Satan in the Garden of Eden, when the curse came upon them for their disobedience in eating the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden as a precaution against them eating fruit from the tree of life, which also grew in that garden. But before they left, and as a part of the curse, God told Eve, he says, "Eve, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." In sorrow. In the process of time, Eve conceived and bare Cain and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And the Bible says, "And she again bare his brother Abel." So now she has two boys, Cain and Abel. But Cain killed Abel. So there was only Cain that was left. When Adam and Eve were 130 years old, remember now they had the same birthday. When they were 130 years old, in 3845 BC, we're told in Genesis 4, verse 25, that Adam begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Now remember that he was made in God's likeness, in God's image, and now he's got a son by here in his after his image, and called his name Seth. And Seth grew up and married, and he and his wife had a son, and they named him Enos. And that's where Jackie's family began. She'd trace it all the way back. Had to get that in somewhere in there, Jackie. Adam and Eve, they lived 800 more years. And the Bible says that they begat sons and daughters. The end of 800 years, I don't know how often they reproduced, but they could have had a pretty good sized family by that time. We don't know how many. Probably most all of them died in the, drowned in the flood in Noah's day, because there wasn't anybody on that ark except Noah and his wife and his their three sons and their wives. That's all. Everybody else drowned. Now, when we think of mothers, we think of childbearing, because that's the normal way for a female to become a mother. My mother and daddy were married in 1920. Between 1926 and 1942, they had five children, all boys. Now, many women today in our society, in the United States of America, do not want to be mothers. And because they don't want to be mothers, when it comes time for them to get married, they don't start looking for an eligible male. They seek another female of the species. Because when you get two females together, you don't have very big families for some reason or other. Many women today who are married to men don't want to be mothers. That's the reason they have birth control pills and other devices on the market to keep from becoming pregnant. Or, if worst comes to worst and they find themselves pregnant, they can go down and get abortions. And that's at least here in America. We have a generation of millions of babies that have been killed in infancy, put to death by their mothers or with their mother's consent. I don't know of any women who go down here to these abortion clinics who are dragged in and saying, crying out, "Oh, I don't want an abortion. I don't want an abortion." Nobody's forcing them. It's voluntary. But that isn't typical motherhood. By the way, I was surprised to find out this past week that the British government, now that's across the waters over there in England, around London and places like that, that the British government is allowing 27 of their hospitals to use the bodies of 15,000 aborted babies to heat their hospitals, and they call these aborted babies clinical waste. and they are incinerated in the furnaces to keep the hospital warm. Bless their hearts. I wonder what God thinks about that. Using babies for fuel. That's as bad as old Herod and what happened down at Bethlehem. 10 times over. Anyway, getting off the subject. Sorry, I got to preaching to you. In the fullness of time, in 6 BC, when God was getting ready to put his divine plan of redemption into action, he started off with a young woman, a virgin, who was engaged to be married, and her name was Mary, and she lived in Nazareth, a city in the province of Galilee in old Israel. When she was approached by the angel Gabriel, she practically volunteered for the assignment. She had the option of refusing, of course. Joseph, the man she was engaged to be married to, also cooperated. And when God was actually made flesh and dwelt among us, they called his name Jesus. And even now, some 2,000 years later, Mary is still revered above all women. I don't know what God has for her in heaven in the hereafter, but it should be pretty good. She was so proud of her son. But her soul was pierced by the sword of sorrow. When he was crucified, she was there. But Mary received him back from the dead 3 days later. And that made her happy. Then Jesus ascended back to heaven from Mount Olivet. And he's there now. He's resumed his duties as our great high priest, our advocate with the Father, our divine intercessor. Mary resided, we're told, under the protective care of the Apostle John until she died. Now, the time and place and manner of her death is unknown, though speculation sets it at about 41 AD. In the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read where Samuel was born. Now, he had a great mother. His father's name was Elkanah. He had two wives. One of them was Peninnah, and she bore him many children. But Hannah was barren. We're told that the Lord had shut up her womb. 1 year she went up to Shiloh to worship the Lord at the tabernacle where it was set up. And while she was there, she went into the tabernacle and she began to pray. And she prayed and she wept as she prayed, asking God for a child and promising to give that child back to the Lord if he would give a baby boy to her. And God heard and answered her prayer, and Samuel was born, 1103 BC. After he was weaned, Hannah kept her promise. She took Samuel to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, and turned him over to Eli, the high priest, And she told him, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." Now she would go back to see him once a year. And every year when she went to Shiloh, she always took him a little coat, and she would sew it with her own hands. And each year, I guess she just made it just a size bigger and bigger and bigger as Samuel was growing up. Well, the Lord blessed her because of that. He gave her 3 sons and 2 daughters. I don't know how long it was, but it was several years into my ministry that one day I was visiting my mother in Texas, and she told me something that has stayed with me ever since. She said that back in 1925, when I was still a child in my mother's womb, that she gave me to God. I didn't know that, but the knowledge of that has been with me ever since. You can imagine how that made me feel. I've always had a lot of respect for a woman in the Bible by the name of Jochebed. She was Amram's wife. They already had 2 children. They lived in Egypt. They were Jews. Their oldest child was a daughter, Miriam. Their other son was named Aaron. And then little Moses was born. But when Moses was born, he was born under a decree of death, because Pharaoh had instructed the midwives who assisted in the birth of babies back then that whenever a baby boy was born, they were to take that little baby down to the Nile River and cast it out into the waters to become crocodile food. Now that's almost as bad as using them for fuel in a British hospital. Throw it to the crocodiles. But the Bible says that in Hebrews 11:23, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So they hid the child for 3 months. They risked their lives to preserve Moses. And look how God used him, if you will. Another mother, I've got to give you this one. Probably not as well known or outstanding as some of the others, was a woman by the name of Rizpah. R-I-Z-P-A-H. 2 Samuel chapter 21. King Saul had 5 grandsons who were children of his daughter Michal. And then there were 2 of his own sons born by Rizpah. She was not his wife, she was a concubine of his. Their names were Armoni and Mephibosheth. These 7 boys had been turned over to a group of people who were Israel's enemies called the Gibeonites. Saul had done them wrong, and they wanted revenge. And they came to the Israelites and they asked for these 7 boys. And the Israelites, for some reason or other, turned them over to them. And they took them out and built seven crosses and crucified these seven boys on those seven crosses. Two of Saul's own sons and five of his grandsons. Rizpah, the mother of the two sons of Saul, went out to that place, and she stayed out there with those boys because they could not be removed from their crosses and buried like Jesus was. They had a law against taking them down, so they had to stay on the crosses there, and she stayed out there with them for about 6 months, rain or shine, keeping the birds and the beasts off of their bodies. And their bodies were deteriorating on those crosses right before her very eyes, until I imagine after 6 months there wasn't anything left up there but just a skeleton of bones. In that great display of motherly love, Rizpah stayed with them. When King David heard about it, he ordered their bodies to be taken down, and he gave them a decent burial with the bones of King Saul and his son Jonathan, who had died at the hand of the Philistines with his daddy. But we have to admire Rizpah. I'll quit after a while. I want to tell you about one more. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was impressed by a mother named Eunice. Her son Timothy became the friend and the companion of Paul in his missionary ministry. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul commends Eunice and her mother Lois for their diligence in teaching Timothy in the ways of the Lord, for raising him up right. And through them, the Bible tells us that Timothy inherited an unfeigned faith in God, a faith that claimed the gifts of God, the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is Mother's Day, and let me take just a moment to tell you about my own mother, who was a little country girl born in 1903. She was the eighth and last child of her father and mother. She received an eighth grade education. That was as high as you could go back in those days. She was raised in a good Christian home. And long before she ever met my father, whom she married in 1920, she used to go by my Grandpa Wetzel's house. He lived in the same community. And she would sit on the front porch and read to him out of his Bible. Like her own father had been, he died when she was 5 years old. Grandpa Wetzel was an old Civil War vet who was crippled by a gunshot wound and almost blind. She would sit on the porch and read to him from the Word of God, not knowing at that time, she was just a young teenage girl at that time, that she would one day become his daughter-in-law. I went down and spent a week with her in September for her 90th birthday. I'm so glad I did, because that was the last time I saw her. She went to be with the Lord 7 months later. So, thanks to Anna Jarvis, whose idea it was to have a Mother's Day in honor of our mothers. Back in 1914, exactly 100 years ago, our U.S. Congress passed a joint resolution establishing Mother's Day. It was signed by President Woodrow Wilson. Anna died in 1948, penniless and blind. She was buried beside her own mother in a Philadelphia cemetery. Her mother had died back in 1890. But mothers are God's instruments to train up a child in the way it should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And today, I respect and admire and thank God for mothers and for each of you who are here today. Let's stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with grateful hearts for your blessings upon us. And one of the greatest blessings and thanksgivings that we can give are to those mothers who nurtured us when we were small and growing up. I thank you for my mother, for the influence that she had in my life. And I thank you for the mothers that are present today in this congregation, and pray that you will bless them with a special blessing on this special day. And Heavenly Father, if there's one today in this congregation, male or female, mother or father, whatever, that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would deal with their hearts and show them Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins. He's our Savior. And if there's one here today who has never accepted him as their Savior, let this be the day when they will be born again and will have a spiritual birthday. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
497.
Number 497 in your hymn book. Will you come? Will you come today?
With not one tune, but that my blood was shed for me, and then thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon, wonderful lunch, and we'll see you at 6 o'clock this evening. Okay? 6 o'clock for our evening service. As we bow in prayer, Brother Roger Delisle, will you lead us, please, in our prayer?
Amen.